Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, hello. My name is James. I heard already. Great to meet you guys. We are honored to be here. Like Pastor Scott said, you know, we have planted a church in Boise. Just to give you a quick recap about that journey. I was born and raised in Central Oregon in the Ben Redmond area. I actually know this area a little bit because we would wrestle Sweet Home quite a bit, and they were known for their wrestling team, and I was big into wrestling, and so I know this area a little bit. And born and raised there, went to Bible college at Portland Bible, met my wife, and we moved back to Central Oregon, raised a family. I got to start serving in the church I grew up in there, which was an amazing gift. And then in 2016, we felt called to move to Texas and pastor a church in Texas. And then in February 2020, we felt led by the Lord to move to Idaho from Texas. And February 2020, does that time ring a bell for anybody at all, right? And it was pretty clear from the Lord, you need to move on February 1st. And so we did. I did this crazy thing. We just packed up and went. And then COVID hit. And we felt like I said, the Lord called us to plant a church in the Boise area that's called the Treasure Valley. All these cities are just one big city, basically, the Treasure Valley. And we felt led to spend a couple years to get to know the community and live there before we planted. And then it was 2022. We were getting ready to launch. We had raised our team for a couple years. We were at our Foursquare convention in Orlando. And they had all these pastors are there to pray over people. And they said, hey, if you are planting a church this year, if you're getting ready to plant a church, will you stand up so that we can pray over you? Thousands of people in the room. And we stood up. And there was this very lovely couple sitting right in front of us, right in front of us, that turned around and prayed over my wife and I. And their prayer was so fulfilling, so life-giving to us, and it really made an impact on our life. In fact, my wife and I were talking about this amazing couple the whole time, that whole rest of that trip and conference, because of their prayer for us. It was beautiful and powerful, and it encouraged us as we were getting ready to do this crazy thing of planting a church. And then flash forward to another year, and we had a conference in Los Angeles. And we had already planted our church. We were right at the beginning of it, and it was, wow, it was crazy. The first year was wild and crazy. And we had a friend, which you guys are familiar with, Mike Mercer, say, hey, I'm going out to lunch today. Would you like to join us? And we're like, of course, you know, we like Mike Mercer. He's always goofy with our kids, and they love him. So let's go to lunch. He said, oh, by the way, I have this awesome couple coming to join us for lunch. Is that okay? And I said, absolutely. Yeah, let's go to lunch. And we did. And it was that same wonderful couple that was sitting in front of us in Orlando. Didn't plan it. And bonded with them. They were talking about their grandkids a lot, and they were super sweet to our kids, especially Elizabeth. And just, again, life-giving, caring about us, asking questions about the church plant, ministering to us. It was so wonderful just how God had brought that together. But he didn't stop there. We had our district conference, our last district conference, and we're 2 years into planting our church, and Foursquare had asked me to be a part of a panel in a church planting workshop to be able to answer questions and give our perspective on stuff. And right in front of me was sitting this gentleman. Guess who it was? The same person that was from the lunch and from before, sitting right in front of me. He felt like the Lord had called him to be part of this church plant, because church planting was put on his heart and to support and have his church be a part of, to support and rally behind. And if you haven't caught on to it yet, this couple has been Pastor Scott and Jackie from the get-go. And just seeing God's divine intervention in our relationship has been so wonderful. Pastor Scott and I have been talking on the phone every Tuesday. I think maybe we've skipped two since that district conference, but we've been talking on the phone and meeting together every Tuesday, and he has helped me walk through struggles and our prayer together. And so I'm so thankful for your friendship, your mentorship and encouragement, and Jackie, just your love for our family too. Thank you so much. And church, we want to thank you guys. You have blessed us immensely with your financial but prayer support and spiritual support with the Table Church. That's our church in Boise. It's amazing to go through this knowing that we're not alone. And we have felt that for for a couple of years, but to know that we have not just this wonderful couple and these pastors that are there, but to know that we have this church in a whole other state that cares about us and supports us, it makes a really big deal. And so we are so thankful. I've been excited to meet you guys, to actually have like faces with the names and people when we talk and we pray for each other in our churches. So thank you for having us here. Thank you so much. Well, today we are going to dive into Psalms 23. Who's familiar with Psalms 23? Yes, a lot of people are familiar with Psalms 23. I kind of have a plan today. I want to read the Psalms together. And then I want to dive into the Psalms and really, really study it and learn it kind of verse by verse with each other. And then I want to enter into a time where we just sit before the presence of Jesus and then say this and pray the Psalms over us and see what he does to our hearts. Are you guys down for that? Okay, well, let's start with the Word of God here. Let's read Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This psalm, for thousands of years, has brought so much peace and comfort to souls. For thousands of years, this is probably one of the most famous psalms. I mean, all of you almost raised your hand when I said, who's heard Psalms 23? This psalm has given so much comfort to the brokenhearted, to those that were struggling with fear, having to walk through these dark valleys. This psalm has given so much comfort to people while they're taking their last breaths. I spent a season of my life as a hospice chaplain, and I can't tell you how many times. I mean, this was my go-to psalms, where I would hold someone's hand while they're literally taking their last breaths, and I would read the psalms and pray it over them, and you could see the peace of God just fall upon them, and you'd see it in their eyes and their face as they embraced the comfort and protection and security in the Good Shepherd. It's a beautiful psalm. And the more I've come to study the psalm, the more I've learned that, yes, this is a psalm about receiving the peace and the comfort and the protection, the provision of the Good Shepherd. But I've discovered that after reading this and studying this more, I want to propose maybe something else to you today. That it's also a psalm about preparing our hearts in a posture of humility before the shepherd. That as we declare his goodness and we receive what he provides, that it's actually maybe even more importantly a psalm to get our hearts in the correct posture of humility as a sheep before the shepherd. That we embrace the shepherd, we embrace what he gives, we embrace who he is, but we also embrace our identity as a sheep. And so we're going to dive into the word today. And before we do, just go on verse by verse. Let's pray, if that's all right with you. Jesus, you are the good shepherd. No one and nothing can compare to you. No one and nothing can stand against you. No one and nothing can get in the way of your will in our life. No one and nothing can ever take your place. So I pray today, God, as we get ready to study your word and as we get ready to just encounter your presence and partake in your presence and listen to you and pray this psalm over us. Jesus, you as the good shepherd, would you minister to the depths of our souls? Would you restore our souls today? We open up to you. And God, we want to be in your will today. So Father God, would you just show us your will as we walk today in your will, not my will, no one else's will, but your will only. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak through us. Would you speak to us? I pray that as we dive into the word, that you would illuminate the word to us like never before, and that the only words that are spoken and received today is the word of God. And I pray, God, that you would not just give us this knowledge today in your word, but that we would actually be transformed and fully changed by the power of your word today. We give you this time, Jesus, the good shepherd. Amen. Amen. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We need to remember, and in fact, my Bible says this. I don't know if yours does, but it says a psalm of David, right? So we know and believe that this is David who wrote this psalm. You got to remember who wrote this psalm. This person grew up as a shepherd boy. So he's very familiar of the role of a shepherd. He's very familiar of what a sheep is like, okay? And he's declaring to God that you are my shepherd. You are this person who brings protection. In fact, has anybody ever raised sheep before? Yeah, a couple people. I have goats, you know, and I think goats are a little bit smarter than sheep, but still kind of the same thing. Sheep are really dumb, aren't they? I mean, sheep, most animals are, but I feel like sheep is the most dependent upon humans than any other livestock I've ever seen or messed with. Like, they are completely helpless without us, the shepherd, right? David is making a huge point here by saying, God, you are my shepherd. You protect me. You give me the nutrition I need, the resources to live, the life I need. You direct my path. David knew what it meant to be a shepherd, and he knew what it meant to be a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. And then he goes on to say, I shall not want. It's interesting that the ancient word that's used for want actually kind of has a twofold meaning here. So David is making a declaration to the Lord, and when we sing, pray this out over us in a moment here, we're going to make a declaration to the Lord that God, you provide for me as the shepherd. I shall not want because you give me everything you need. And that's a declaration. It's telling God, thank you for providing all this for us. But there's a second meaning to this word want. David's also saying, and it's very powerful, that I'm not going to look anywhere else than what the shepherd provides for me. So he's saying, you are the God who provides. You are the great shepherd. And I'm not going to long for or have any wants for anything outside of what my shepherd provides. It's a statement of humility and surrender. It's powerful. So we got to remember too, like I said earlier, David was very familiar with what sheep are like and how difficult they are to work with, how dumb sheep can be. And we need to remember, too, that David is writing this psalm not as the little shepherd boy that we read about in Scripture. He wrote this psalm as a successful king who has conquered and is wealthy and has developed everything he needs to do. And in the might of all that he's accomplished now as a successful king, he has this heart posture to go before the presence of God and say, you are my shepherd, and I am this lowly, helpless sheep. Our first application point on the screen is this, if you're taking notes today. In order to embrace Jesus as our shepherd, we must embrace our identity as a humble sheep. So when we get ready here in a moment to go before the presence of God and to declare he's our shepherd and ask to receive from him, may we also go before the presence of God with this understanding of our role and embracing our role as a humble, dependent sheep before the Lord, our good shepherd. All right, verse 2. He makes, everybody say makes, that word stands out. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Man, this really stood out to me in studying this over the last few weeks, that he makes me lie down in green pastures. So oftentimes, I don't know if you're like me, but so oftentimes I go before the Lord in my times of need and I cry out to the good shepherd, would you please provide? And then I always have this kind of understanding where I feel like I know what I need the most. Now, I ask him to provide, right? But it almost comes with this, like, this pride where I'm like, and God, would you provide this, this, and this, because I know I need this, this, and this. Or sometimes I'm so stubborn and so driven that it takes the Lord to say, no, I'm going to make you lie down at this point now. See, the shepherd knows more. He knows more of what we need than we know. He knows what we need more than we know. He knows when we need it more than we know. How we need things in our life. So when we present this request to the shepherd, may we present it in a way of acknowledging that God, would you make us lie down in the green pastures? The green pastures are the things that the resources we need, the sustenance in our life, you know, the giving of life that we need from God, and the living waters, the still waters. Notice it's not rushing, crazy current, rapid waters. It's still peaceful waters, the water of life that refreshes us, the Holy Spirit's indwellment within us that gives us a fresh life and awakening. He makes us and leads us to the point of receiving from him. Leads me beside still waters. And then this declaration that he restores my soul. God knows what we need, when we need it, how we need it, and when he provides it, it restores our soul. You guys, our world is so broken. Our world is so broken. Our communities are so broken. And as people, we can be broken. I'm broken before you today. I need the Lord to restore my soul. I need to submit myself as a sheep before the great shepherd. And I need my soul restored over and over again. And he will do it. So our second application point on the screen is this. Jesus knows exactly what we need and when we need it. He will provide and he will restore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The rest of verse 3 here. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the shepherd goes before and he leads us on this path. He tells us how we're supposed to live our life and where we're supposed to walk. And that path is led through righteousness. Righteousness simply means to be right with God, to be godly, to look like God in how we live and act. And Scripture is clear of instructions on how to live the life that God's called us to live, right? So the shepherd leads us through his word on this path of righteousness and a way to live. And yes, it's for our benefit as the sheep, right? When we live righteousness, when we're on the right path, his protection is there. When we're on the right path, we're going where we need to go. When we stray, that's where the danger comes in. So he's leading us for our protection, but this psalm says something more. Why does he lead us on the path of righteousness? It's not just for us. It's for his name's sake. So that while we're walking through that path, when all the other sheep that are lost and are not a part of our shepherd's flock, who are lost sheep, when they look at us walking through that path, who do they see? They see Jesus. He leads us on this path so that the world can see Jesus through his sheep. Psalms 23 isn't just about us. Jesus is doing this for the world and the lost sheep as well. You see a pattern happening in these verses now? This pattern of humility and God's bigger picture of what's going on. For his name's sake. And then David says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." So now we turn to the point of this psalm where it becomes more dark, right, and real. The struggle that we deal with. We're not just talking about the goodness of God and what he provides, but now we're talking about the depths of the dark places that we must walk through in our life. And notice that when we talk about the hard things and the dark things, all of a sudden the narrative goes from he is to you are with me. May I propose to you that when we get ready to pray this psalm over us, that we're not just talking about the shepherd, but there is this intimacy with Jesus, our good shepherd, where he wants this one-on-one relationship where we actually get to talk to our shepherd and have this one-on-one relationship with our shepherd. When we say, "You are with me, Jesus. You are with me." He says, "I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He's not saying, "Oh boy, things are hard. This life is hard. The shepherds led me into this weird direction. Now I'm going to run through it as quick as I can." No, we're going at the shepherd's pace, aren't we? We've got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And let's talk about this valley. What is a valley? It's not saying a mountaintop that we go through, not this mighty pass we have to go over. No, it's this valley. It's a valley described in a way of cliff, and like a little canyon in between it. Meaning that the only way to get through the valley is to go through it. There's not a skirt around. There's not a plan B like we have with our GPSs now. If there's a crash here, we get to go this route or whatever. You have to walk through the valley to get to the other side. That tells us that there are going to be moments where we have to walk through these dark periods in our life. May I dare say that the shepherd Jesus himself leads us into these seasons in our life. Knowing that he can protect us, knowing that he can provide what we need, he can nourish us, he can protect us, and we need to put our faith and our hope and our trust in him. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, "Come follow me and your life will be easy and perfect." In fact, it's quite the opposite, isn't it? But when the world goes through the valleys, they have not submitted to a shepherd to guide them on the right path, to protect them from the attacks of the enemy and the predators, to provide the nutrition that they need to continue on in their life. But we, church, we have a good shepherd that will lead us through the dark valleys. And it's not called the valley of death, is it? The valley of the shadow of death. You see, our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, has conquered sin and death. Spurgeon comments on this, and he says, you know, a shadow of a barking dog does not bite you. This is the shadow of death. Jesus has conquered sin and death. Death has no sting anymore, and through Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, we do not have to fear the enemy. Wow, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. Someone needs to hear that right now. I prophetically feel that you are struggling with the attacks of the enemy and you've grown a fear against the enemy. And Jesus, my friend, if you're out here, you need to hear that you do not have to fear evil. Jesus has conquered it, and all that you see is a remnant of a shadow because our shepherd, our Savior, has conquered sin and death. Amen. Amen. And we don't have to fear it because you are with me, Jesus. You are with me. This statement is such a humbling statement. To say, "I'm not going to run through it. I'm going to go at your pace, Jesus. despite how dark it is. And I'm not going to fear the shadow because you have already won and you are with me. It's actually on the screen, our third application point on the screen. Jesus has conquered death and we can now walk through the valleys without fear. If you're going through a valley right now, and look, I am. If you're going through a valley right now, we do not have to walk through it with fear. And unfortunately, you're probably going to have to walk through valleys in the future. And even then, you do not have to walk through it with fear. You do not have to run through it. You can walk through it with the peace of the shepherd. David continues on. Oh, and this one's good. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, the rod was like this heavy stick they would hold on to, and it was the weapon, it was the protection, it was what they would use. And David actually used, scripture tells us, you know, to defeat beasts and animals, to protect the flock, the livelihood. And the staff was used to give direction and guidance for the sheep, but it was more used, they would have a hook on it, it was a tool of discipline and correction. Do you understand what David's saying here? David is literally saying that your protection and your correction and discipline in my life brings me comfort. Who here feels comfort and joy in discipline? Anybody? Yep, nobody will raise their hand. If they do, they're probably lying, right? Like, oh my goodness, do we need to hear this from the Lord? To have such a close and loving and trusting relationship with our good shepherd that we know that when he corrects, it's out of love for us, that it brings us comfort when he corrects us. Again, some of you are experts in raising sheep. You've had to deal with sheep, and without correction and guidance, they are so lost. I just even look at my life and think of where would I be without the divine intervention of the Lord correcting me from my mistakes, setting me back on the path of righteousness. When he doesn't have to, when me stepping outside of that path was usually me turning my back on him, but he loves me enough to correct me, to take that hook and yank you back in line in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake. Application point 4 on the screen is this. We should take comfort in the protection, but not just the protection, church, the protection and correction of Jesus. But that takes trust in knowing that his correction comes from love. Some of us have grown up with correction and discipline that was not done with love. And those who were corrected and disciplined out of love grow up to be adults that appreciate the discipline they had in their life. It means everything. It means everything. All right, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What? An absurd statement. You see, it's interesting. First, he says, you prepare. Again, that shows to make that declaration to the shepherd says, when you prepare, it means I'm depending upon you to prepare something for me. Just like when we raise our sheep or our goats like I do, they're completely dependent upon what I prepare for them, or maybe the field that we grow and we take care of. They are nothing without what we provide for them. But my wife actually mentioned this. It means something even more intimate, that our shepherd loves us so much that he would take the time to personally prepare for us what we need in our life. It goes back to saying, you are with me. This intimacy relationship with our shepherd. that he prepares a table before us. And the table is a place. It's interesting that we would have this metaphor of sitting at a table in the presence of our enemies. When we sit down at the table, we receive the nutrition we need, receive the life that we need, the sustenance to keep living, right? But when we sit down at a table, we're not just eating, we're actually entering into this posture of vulnerability. Imagine just the metaphor of what David said, that you're surrounded by enemies, people that want to cause harm to you, and your shepherd's prepared a table, and you're going to sit down, let down your guard, and turn your back towards those who want to harm you, not to face them in this offensive posture of attack back protection. No, there's no defense on your part. To be able to sit down at the table that our Savior Jesus, our good shepherd, has provided for us, to be able to have that heart posture means that we have to have complete trust and dependency upon his protection in our life. Not just consuming what he provides, but humbling ourselves in surrender that he is going to protect us, even in the midst of the presence of our enemies. Wow. Wow. And then he says, you anoint my head with oil. In this old Jewish practice, when someone would become a priest, they would anoint their head with oil as a mark that you are set apart from the rest of the world, that you're going to be different than the rest of the world, that you are not this lost sheep anymore, but now you are a part of the good shepherd's flock. You are set apart from the world. And then we also believe now through the New Testament and through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit in us, that it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit to come and do his will, his mark. There's this supernatural empowering that comes when we become a sheep of the Good Shepherd, and now we are spiritually supercharged. That the presence of the living God dwells within us. We are set apart from the rest of the world. For his name's sake. My cup runs over. This is so beautiful that the good shepherd provides and he protects and he provides so much for us that our cup runs over. I used to think that this was meaning that he just gives us more than what we need. But I come to you today believing that this actually really has nothing to do with us. That the good shepherd cares so much about the lost sheep, that he provides so much for us, that out of the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit in us and the protection of Jesus and the love and correction of the shepherd, it actually spills out to the world around us. That he cares about us, that he's going to provide what we need, but he also cares about the lost sheep. And through that overflowing, it overflows, the cup overflows and spills out. And the world will see the love of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, because he gives us more than what we need. More than what we need. And it's not so we can get fat on his blessings. So that we can go out and share with the lost sheep of the goodness of our shepherd. And he can, for his name's sake. Amen. And this is where we put trust in the discipline and correction, because it says in verse 6, surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This word goodness, when you go to study it, it actually has this sense of love with it. So the shepherd goes out with his boldness and his strength and protection and provision in front of us, and he leaves us on this path. And what follows behind is his goodness, his love, and his mercy. Because I have been a lost sheep, and because I am a sheep, and I make mistakes over and over again. And look, I'm a pastor, and I probably make even more mistakes over and over again after becoming a pastor. How much hope and comfort to know that as we do our best to follow the path that the Good Shepherd has laid out before us, that even if we stray a little bit, what follows behind? His goodness, his love, and his mercy. Now he's probably going to use that rod and get back in there. But it's out of love and mercy, church. If you're struggling with hurt from church today, if you feel like the church has hurt and harmed you, one, I want to tell you that I'm so sorry you've had to go through. I have been hurt by the church as well. But when I really dive into it, I realize I'm not hurt by the Good Shepherd. I've been corrected and disciplined by the Good Shepherd, but it's been out of love. The abusive discipline, the discipline and correction out of flesh and anger did not come from Jesus. That came from man. Jesus' discipline is full of goodness, love, and mercy. And it will always be there for all the days of my life. That doesn't mean we should walk off the path at free will, right? No. But to know the hope and security that he is always following us with his grace and mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and mercy in my life. Worship team, if you want to start heading up here. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell, I will reside in, I will have this permanent inhabitance in the house of the Lord, the shepherd's house forever. Jesus Christ, the groom, is coming back to collect his bride, the church, us, his sheep, and to take us to his Father's house to dwell in eternity forever. So not only do we have this hope and comfort that when we walk through these valleys now in our life with the situations we're going through currently in our life or that we're going to go through all the days of our life, we have hope and comfort for that. But how powerful to know that we have this eternal, everlasting hope and comfort that we will reside within the presence of our good shepherd and savior for all of eternity, forever and ever. Our last application point on the screen, if you're taking notes, is this. Jesus brings current and eternal comfort and security for all the days of my life. For all the days of my life. All right, so I want to do this process that we talked about. Now that we've dove into Scripture and really internalized and dove into the Word of God, can we do something where we pray this psalm over us? And I'm going to take it just section by section. And may we invite the Holy Spirit to really speak to us, speak to the depths of our hearts here. In fact, I want to encourage you, if you're comfortable with it, would you mind just closing your eyes to get rid of all distractions? And if you're comfortable with it, could we even take this posture of maybe even just our hands out like this. Two reasons why. That's a posture of receiving, isn't it? And if you're like me and you need the protection, you need the shepherd's help in this time in your life, let's receive, because the good shepherd loves to give to his sheep. But this is also, there's a second meaning behind this posture of our hands open. It's a vulnerable act of surrender before the shepherd. Your heart's open up. You are vulnerable. It's also an act of and a posture that was used before a king in the ancient times, where you would go before and kneel and have your arms open. So that when we do this posture, we are truly entering into this conversation with our shepherd, embracing him as the shepherd, embracing what he provides, but I think more importantly, embracing the posture of a humble sheep, declaring we are completely dependent upon the shepherd. So let's listen. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us in this time? We want to hear from you. I encourage you guys, let the Lord speak to you in this moment as we read these words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We listen to you, Jesus. Oh, we listen to you, Jesus. May we realign our hearts to embrace you as the shepherd and embrace our role as the humble, hopeless without you sheep. Acknowledging your authority over our lives. And may we not long or look for anything else except what you give the shepherd. We shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Jesus, would you, for those of us that need to be made and put into submission, would you make us lie down where you want us to lie down? Would you lead us to receive and glean from what you want us to glean from? Not what we think, God, but what you as the good shepherd knows that we need. He restores my soul. Come on, church, if you are struggling right now and you're in a season of your life where you're in that dark valley, would you receive his restoration to the depths of your soul right now in this moment? Oh, Jesus, we cry out to you, God. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Is the Holy Spirit convicting you with that? Not me, but is the Holy Spirit convicting you with that? Do we need to step back in line into the path of righteousness today? For his name's sake. When people look at us, do they see the goodness of the shepherd? Or do they see us wandering in the wilderness? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. May I just encourage you, if that tugged on your heart and you feel like you're walking through this dark valley and you feel the attacks from the enemy, that shadow of the barking dog right now, if you would just be so bold, would you just say with your own words, you are with me. You are with me. We do not have to fear evil, for he is with us, and the one that is with us has conquered sin and death. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Maybe we need to have a heart posture change before the Lord in terms of correction and discipline. Maybe we need to ask Jesus to open our eyes to see that he was actually protecting us when he was correcting us. And that it was out of love. May we become so close with the shepherd that we find comfort in his correction as he pulls us back onto the path of righteousness. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, Jesus, would we put our hope and trust in you in such a level that we can let down our guard in the presence of our enemies, knowing that you, the good, great, mighty shepherd, will protect us and provide what we need to eat. You anoint my head with oil. Holy Spirit, would you reignite and anoint and empower us to be set apart, to be completely filled with your life-giving presence and power from on high. May we embrace our identity as being set apart and in the good shepherd's flock. My cup runs over. Are you hoarding the blessings of God? Are you willing to let it overflow your life so that the people around you, in your community, in your work, your family, neighborhood, that they get to taste and see that the Lord is good, because your cup runs over and spills out to the community around you? God, surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me for all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy, the secure foundation of knowing that we have your grace and mercy following us for all the days of our lives. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We take eternal hope and comfort that you're not just our shepherd through the valleys here on earth and our time here on earth, but that you are our shepherd for all of eternity, and we will dwell with you forever. With our eyes closed still, I understand that we're talking a lot to people that maybe have already embraced Jesus as their shepherd, but maybe you're hearing these words today and you're realizing that you were one of the lost sheep and that you want to enter into the flock of the great shepherd. So with all our eyes closed, if that's you and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to take that step of leaving the world's identity, the flock of the world, and joining in with the good shepherd, that you want to embrace him as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, would you just look up at me and I don't know, raise your hand or just make eye contact with me so that I could pray with you, that you want to make that decision to follow Jesus for all the days of your life. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I see you. Jesus, I thank you that you are such a good and loving shepherd, that your flock is always growing. It doesn't matter who we are or where we come from, that your love is so deep for us that you fully embrace sheep into your flock. Thank you for your love. And I pray for these four individuals that have made that dedication, that they are entering in to your kingdom and into your flock and embracing you with humility and love. I pray that you would be with them, Jesus, that you would show them your comfort, you would show them your protection and your life. And I pray, Jesus, that you would let them know your grace and mercy and love is always there for all the days of their life. Thank you, Jesus. We give you this time, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We're going to worship you.